Just in time for summer, the folks at Epic Brewing have released a new canned cocktail, the Utah Margarita. A delicious blend of real lime and agave, the Utah Margarita is ready to drink by the river or in the park. And here's the kicker, no need to buy it at a liquor store. Pick up a six-pack of Epic Brewing's Utah Margarita at any local Harmon's or Trader Joe's, or visit Epic Brewing on State Street in downtown Salt Lake City. Today on CityCast Salt Lake, Real Housewife Jen Shah's sentencing date just got bumped yet again to January 6th. Meanwhile, yet another house of cards just fell in the valley. Why is Utah home to so many scammers? And is there a place to point the blame? I asked Deseret News Features editor Meg Walter. Today's Monday, November 28th, 2022. I'm Ali Viarta, and this is CityCast Salt Lake. Meg Walter, in reports of all different kinds, U.S. News and World, whatever, whatever, Utah is named a top or the top state for fraud in the nation. Why do you think we deserve this crown? Do we deserve this crown?
You know, it's funny we're talking about this today of all days because Elizabeth Holmes was just sentenced to 11 years in prison.
I know. That's wild to me.
In like maybe one of the biggest fraud cases in a while. Mm-hmm. And I guess it depends on, are we talking about quality or quantity of fraud, right? Do we have a lot of big fraud cases? No, I don't think so. But do we have a lot of smaller affinity fraud? I think, yeah, probably. So I think we half deserve the title. How's that for a non-answer?
Well done. You should run for office.
Thank you. Thank you.
How would you define affinity fraud?
Fraud that you get roped into because of an affection you feel for the person who roped you into it. You half did it because you felt like it was a good opportunity, but more than half did it because you liked the person or felt guilty saying no.
Okay, well, on that note, I feel like we have to talk about why Utah is ripe for this. Why do you think?
I think in Utah, we are more likely to know our neighbors and be a part of a community, whether you go to church or whether you benefit from your neighbors going to church or whether you, I mean, I just feel like we have like a neighborhood focused state. I was writing a piece recently about something that was happening in Utah, and I asked some of my coworkers, it was about Halloween actually. And I said, well, how does Utah's Halloween differ from Halloween where you're from? And they said, it is so much more of a community event here because people know their neighbors. So just by the product of knowing your neighbors, you are more likely to get roped into these things because it's like a numbers game, right? The more people you know, the higher the chances are that they're going to get you into something like this.
Yeah, that makes sense. And also like on the note of trust, it's like you are more likely to trust your neighbors because you're like, well, I mean, maybe not everyone stares out their window all day at their neighbors, but I do. And I'm like, well, I watch you.
Yeah.
Like you're right there.
And you're my friend.
And you're my friend and you're nice to me. And like you picked the same house as me or the same kind of house as me. So like we're just inherently alike, right? We have similar values.
And you wouldn't ever do anything to hurt me.
Mm-hmm. You know my family.
Yeah. Why would you steal my money? Yeah.
In the past when you and I have talked about scammers, and we absolutely have, you have said something that I think is really interesting, which is that there are kind of two kinds of fraud in Utah. You've got like accidental fraud, like people who kind of fall into it. And then you've got the more purposeful, more like sort of malignant, like scammers. Do you still believe that? Is that still kind of your delineation?
Yes, but I need to add an important caveat, which is that the definition of fraud is pretty narrow and states that you have to willingly deceive people, right? So I wouldn't call them fraud so much as scams. And I feel like the first category is more getting ahead of your skis than it is intentionally defrauding people. So the last time we really talked about it was when we talked about the Magnolia Show, right?
Yeah.
And how they didn't...
Homework.
They didn't set out to defraud these homeowners. And I don't know if the legal definition is that they defrauded them, but they certainly put them in a financial mess, right?
Yeah.
Because they got ahead of their skis. They took on more than they could handle. I know LuLaRoe isn't a Utah company, but it feels Utah adjacent, right? I don't think those founders set out to screw over their customers, but they got ahead of their skis. They didn't scale. Mm-hmm. They didn't hire the right people. And so they ended up really hurting the people who were a part of their companies. But then you have people who intentionally defraud their customers and investors. And that certainly happens here as well.
Yeah. Can you give an example of a Utah scam or scheme that you would define as being like purposeful white collar scammery?
So Trevor Milton, right?
Who's that?
The founder of Nikola, the supposed hydrogen car, Nikola being the first name of Tesla, right? So it was going to be like the alternative to Tesla. It was going to be hydrogen powered. He, I mean, allegedly, again, don't want to get sued for defamation here, but he defrauded his investors. And here's why I think that's interesting for Utah. We are a tech state, right?
Yeah.
We pride ourselves on innovation. Most of our innovation, though, isn't very sexy, right? It's SaaS. It's dental appointment scheduling. Like Qualtrics is a huge company, but like, who cares what Qualtrics does? Nobody cares because it's boring, right?
Or knows.
Yeah. Like, gun to my head, I cannot explain what Qualtrics does.
No. Data schmumps.
Right. Like SurveyMonkey, I think. Anyway, a hydrogen car, though, that's like sexy, right? That is cool. And that could put Utah on the map. So people were really excited about it, right? And I feel like part of that excitement was maybe not as much diligence as should have been done, and a founder who wasn't willing to disclose everything that was really going on, which led to the financial disaster that happened on the heels of Nikola, right? Mm-hmm. That was intentional fraud that was allowed to happen because we wanted something sexy and exciting to come out of the state, in my opinion.
The Living Traditions Festival is back in downtown Salt Lake City, May 17th through 19th, and this is when I come alive. It is so easy to sell me on 3 days of Washington Square and Library Square converting to a global food court, and this festival has truly been one of my favorites for years now. Living Traditions convenes the diversity of artistic traditions, food heritage, music, and art from the many cultures that have made Utah their home. You can expect everything from live music and dance to hands-on workshops, a little shopping, Sundance film screenings, and Bohemian Brewery. There is something for the whole family, and it's free entry. Come celebrate all of the rich cultures that make up our community. Find more information on the festival and view the full program guide at livingtraditionsfestival.com or on Instagram and Facebook at SLC Living Trad. We talk a lot on this show about our city's crown jewels. What are the institutions that open doors in our community and regulate its pulse? I choose Salt Lake Community College, and it is a home for incredibly focused Salt Lakers. Nearly 80% of their students work while going to school, many full-time jobs. If I could do college all over again, I would not be 33 and sitting on these damn student loans. And slick students aren't. 80% graduate with little to no student loan debt or save thousands knocking out credits before transferring to a four-year institution. Every day, Salt Lake Community College is transforming lives and communities through education. If you want to learn something new, refine a trade, or pursue a higher degree for the first time, explore your options at slcc.edu. Study alongside hard workers, save precious money, and be one in a class of 19, not 100. I want to pivot back to the only slightly lighter version of a Utah scam, which is, like you brought up, sort of the like getting ahead of yourself version. Can you name some of those for people who might be looking to make that connection?
Yeah, I mean, I think like the homework thing was that, right? Mm-hmm. I already mentioned LuLaRoe, which wasn't a Utah company, but I think we've seen a lot of MLMs burn bright and fast and fizzle out and hurt a lot of people along the way, right? Like how many Facebook messages did you get in 2011 that was like, hey, hot mama, do you want to buy some lip scents? You know, like those are everywhere and not necessarily fraudulent, but certainly people getting ahead of their skis.
And it resulting in people getting hurt.
That was
the thing about the LuLaRoe documentary was like how many, specifically women, were like, I got burned by this.
Yeah. And I mean, I think part of what's interesting and part of what's a Utah tie-in here is that a lot of women who stay at home with their kids do want entrepreneurial experiences, right? And they do want to add to their family's financial independence or be financially independent on their own. Whether or not they feel like they should work is kind of beside the point. Childcare is really expensive, right? So for a lot of women, it becomes a wash if they want to work and pay for childcare. So these feel like great opportunities for them to make money at home. And I think it's really tragic that we don't have more legitimate opportunities for these women to do something like that at home. And they end up getting roped into these dumb MLMs that don't actually make them money. And more often than not, they lose money. And I would like to see more opportunities afforded to a lot of these moms. I don't know. I can't really think of many others.
I think most Utahns probably know the term MLM. But in case you're listening and you don't, multi-level marketing, which is basically like, it's like a diet Ponzi, diet pyramid scheme, maybe.
Yeah, for some reason, I used to know the definition of this, but it's not a pyramid scheme because something, something. But like if you draw a picture of how it works, it looks like a pyramid.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's exactly right.
There's a downline. Get in early. You get the most money. Everyone has to have someone beneath them in order to make money. And eventually the people at the bottom are never going to make money.
Right. They get left holding the bag. When people talk about fraud in Utah, they often are pointing to some of these like MLMs, like the sort of like neighborly, it seems too good to be true. And oops, it is kind of schemes. And it feels often like a little victim blamey. Like I think particularly because it's women that get involved often in these, that like it's a depiction of Utah women problem, I think, in some ways, where it's like, oh, the reason for this is because Utah women are stay-at-home moms, a lot of them. They have too much time on their hands, like specifically LDS women, like they're looking for something to do, et cetera, et cetera. Do you also find that like in the narrative? Because I feel like you study like Utah women culture in particular.
Yes. To answer your question, yes. And like I maybe failed to explain before, I don't think that they're dumb, right? I think that they are really excited by the chance to run their own business at home and are told that if they work hard enough, they'll be successful, right? And hear success stories from other people who are successful. And I don't think they're dumb. I think sometimes there's a lack of resources to warn them about what the potential is, but there's definitely inherent sexism saying, look at these dumb women who are dumb enough to sign up for this program that everyone knows is bad. When how great would it be if there were like better options for women with children to be a part of the workplace, right? Like, I think a lot of it is just lack of options.
Yeah. And like we hear this expression a lot, like let the buyer beware, like it's on the consumer. And I mean, I'll say it. It's not like it's actually the attorney general's job, right? So it's like, I don't think you can fault anyone for being scammed or becoming involved in something like this. Like there is a whole elected office that is responsible for making sure that these things don't happen or that they're appropriately prosecuted or whatever.
I agree. And I feel like there's a lot of embarrassment when you have been scammed, but who among us has not been scammed, you know?
Yeah.
I clicked a link and someone took over my Twitter like not that long ago. Like it's very easy to get scammed and scammers are getting more sophisticated. And I think that there needs to be less stigma around people sharing their stories, because the more people share their stories, the more awareness will grow and the smarter we'll all become as it concerns fraud and scams.
Yeah. Okay, you're a Utah navigating the world. You work in news media. I think you're very savvy.
Oh, thank you.
Do you have any tips for us on not getting scammed? Like, are there like lessons you've learned?
Like you said, If it seems too good to be true, it is. Mm-hmm. Last week, everyone I know bought the $100 Uni pizza oven off of Amazon. Guess what, guys? It's not real.
Yeah.
Everyone today received an email. Like I said, I've fallen for so many scams. I think it's just about doing that extra step of research.
Yeah.
And being careful and sleeping with one eye open, you know, like so great to be trusting and loving and part of a community, but also, you know, look out for yourself.
I think that is extremely sage advice. Any last thoughts, Meg, on scam culture in Utah?
Don't scam people.
Don't be a scammer.
If you are scammed, don't be embarrassed. It happens to all of us. Mm-hmm. And it's an opportunity to learn and be a little bit wiser in the future.
Yeah. Meg Walter, thank you so much.
Thank you.
One more thing before we go. I saw a KUER story about how the popularity of vaping is declining with young Utahns. And I'm calling this scam adjacent news because let's be real, vaping? Kind of scammy. The Utah Department of Health and Human Resources has been tracking e-cigarette use among 18 to 25-year-olds. And from 2019 to 2021, it dropped 5%. As of last year, about 14% of young Utahns are hitting the vape on the reg. My personal vaping history aligns with this data. I ditched my Juul in 2020. That's all for us today here on CityCast Salt Lake. We will be back tomorrow morning with more from around the city. Bye.